At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Playtest. It is episode 242. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast, rate 5 stars. Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple, you know the drill. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. You're going to hit the thumbs up on all of our videos, which are in the Playtesty playlist. Subscribe to WEI and then find us on all the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
Hit the horn. Hit the horn.
The breaking news horn already?
Yep.
Uh-oh. My God.
The Arizona Diamondbacks have traded Josh Naylor to the Seattle Mariners.
God damn.
No way. I'll be right back.
Oh, true. Yeah, he's got to tell.
Yeah, so that blows.
Yeah, that stinks. We were gonna talk some Josh Naylor today. We were.
Yeah, we were.
Okay. Well, I'll finish the intro and then I guess we could.
Yeah.
No, we'll get there. Okay. So yeah, here with Sammy, here with Pat. Trades are going down now. Trades are going down. We're a week away from the deadline as we record this. We just hit the week marker. Now we're now under 7 days. But the Red Sox are in a playoff spot. And they're coming off a couple of rough series, 2-4 since the All-Star break. I get it. They didn't hit the ball well in either series, and specifically in this series, really, until it took Jesus Luzardo falling apart on the mound to give the Red Sox life and JT Realmuto dropping a pop-up. I get it. But it's the second straight series that the vibes were saved in the last game of a series win. We're going to talk trade deadline all throughout the show. The overwhelming majority of this show is going to be trade deadline stuff. But before we talk about trade deadline stuff, we should give a vibe check. I feel like people are conflicted with how to feel right now because people are conflicted with, A, we just had one of the games of the year and the Red Sox won it, and it had multiple signature moments with the Romy Grand Slam and the Narvaez go-ahead home run in the 11th. But you're 2-4 since the All-Star break. They were against good teams, and it brings legitimate questions to the table of, is this another situation with the second half Red Sox? Is this Red Sox team good enough to compete with the elite of the elite teams in the game? And then if the answer to that second question is no, then your next question, because a lot of people, if the answer is no to that, they'll say, okay, well, if you can't win the World Series, then you should sell. Then the question becomes, is there value in making the in simply making the playoffs, even if you're going to be an early exit? To which I want to give you guys the floor, but to me, my answer is a resounding yes. And I think the last crop of prospects that came up have been hurt by the fact that they didn't make the postseason. Brian Baio, Tristan Casas, Jaren Duran, I get, was on the 2021 roster, but he didn't play in the postseason. Like, these guys definitely could have used playoff experience, and I want that for Anthony and Meyer and Campbell when he comes back. I want it for Narvaez, for this group. So I do think there's value in it, but let's get a vibe check before we get to the trade deadline stuff. Like, Sammy, how are you feeling about where the Red Sox are right now? And yeah, vibe check going into the playoffs. Is there value in just making the playoffs if that's what this team's going to do?
Sure. So I'll start with the vibe check. And I think this is where me being an elder statesman of the show kind of comes into play. If you take a step back and look at the Red Sox, they went on a 10-game winning streak before the All-Star break. They came back. They played two of the best teams in the entire league on the road. They didn't win either series, but they didn't get swept in either of the series either. Yes, it was frustrating with the offense. Yes, the pitching didn't look as good as it did before the break. But again, look at these offenses. Cubs offense, Phillies offense, both ridiculous. It's not that crazy that they didn't look unstoppable like they did against the Rockies and the Nationals. How soon we forget the opponents. So, big picture, I feel exactly the same about this Red Sox team. It's the same team from before the break where we were saying, yeah, a great winning streak, but look who you're playing. Same concept. Yeah, you lost two series, but it was on the road against two of the best teams in Major League Baseball. Fine. Yes, they showed some blemishes with the pitching. Giolito didn't look as good as he did in the first half and his first two starts in the second half. You know, little things like that. Chapman, who's been almost perfect this year, gives up a home run to Real Muto. But Gordo, like you said, they end that not-so-good road trip on a high note. Maybe the highest of high notes. I wouldn't say it was the game of the year, but it was damn close. That was an outstanding game. Start to finish, start behind the eight ball with Giolito. Not what you want to see. They fight back. There's something fun about watching the Red Sox when they're behind. I don't know what it is. When they're behind and they're clawing their way back into a game, there's something extra exciting about it. Yeah, you don't want to be in that spot, but, you know, this is a team that's capable of making comebacks, and we've seen that all year. So, to answer your question, I feel the same. And is there value in making the playoffs? Your second question, yeah, absolutely. I'll use a different sport for an analogy. The Celtics, if they didn't play the Warriors and lose in the finals 2 years before they won the championship, I would not have felt nearly as good about their chances to beat Dallas. And yet when they went to play Dallas, I felt, oh, all these guys have all been here before. They have the experience. Yes, different sport, sure, but same concept. They whooped the Mavericks. So I think if the Red Sox get in the playoffs, there's value because A, experience, B, it's baseball. You never know what happens. So even if you don't think this is a World Series team, I still think it's worth buying. And we'll dig into that later in the show about the specifics. But yeah, same team, feel the same. Yes, there's value to make the playoffs. There you go.
Pat, I want to get your take, but first, remember last year they had a 6-game road trip just following the All-Star break, and they went 1-5 in the final game of that road trip that they flew back on. They got absolutely manhandled by the Colorado Rockies, and Reese McGuire got pwned by Cal Quantrill. So very different mindset, very different vibe on a flight home after a signature win like that compared to being pissed off that one of the Rockies pitchers called out your boy for jerking off in a parking lot. It's a very different vibe. But Pat, vibe check?
Yeah, I've been saying it for, 6 weeks? I'll give you my full verdict after it's the Dodgers series, actually, after the Dodgers series. As currently constructed, I don't think it's a playoff team.
Oh.
That being said, even marginal upgrades, they're a playoff team. I want more than marginal, obviously. But like, if you add somebody to replace one of Fitz or Beal at the back of the rotation, you add some form of a reliever and upgrade the platoon at first base even slightly, that's enough to get you into the wild card. But as of right now, I don't think they're a playoff team. That being said, if they do become a playoff team and they don't win the World Series, they don't get out of the wild card game even, I'm with Sammy. Like, making the playoffs this year is so incredibly crucial. A, because you have the guys like Marcelo and Jaren and Narvaez, like all of these, Crochet, like getting all of these guys postseason experience will pay dividends down the road when it becomes more of a, you know, a regular thing. That being said, too, I truly do think that there is some form of marketability to free agents and to trade partners when you are a playoff team.
But it's also so much about the kids, though. Like
it is.
It's everything. It's a stepping stone. I've been so frustrated by the amount of people I have seen still thinking that the Red Sox should sell, still thinking that the Red Sox should trade Aroldis Chapman. Like that's crazy. And it's not even just like people, like stupid idiots on Twitter. It's like people with legitimate platforms are saying this. To me, that's crazy. That is such a, I'm not saying that they're delivering a bad message, but I'm saying if the Red Sox front office traded veterans on this team, that doesn't count the outfield surplus. Cause like, hopefully if you're doing that, you're adding in other areas. If you traded Aroldis Chapman, we don't need to go down this rabbit hole because we have a ton to discuss today. But if they did that, that would be the worst message that you could send to an up and coming group. I cannot believe there are still people saying that.
I agree. Hey, and Pat brought up a really good point as far as like prospective free agents. Look at it this way. There's two Boston Red Sox. There's the playoff Red Sox, like 2021 and 2018, where Fenway's hopping. Great vibe around the city. If you live in Boston, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then there's the sad Fenway. Welcome the visiting team to take 2 out of 3 from us. The Fenway experience. The fans are angry at you. The media is negative. A winter couldn't come soon enough. That kind of Red Sox, which everybody knows what I'm talking about when I bring up those kind of Red Sox teams. So I think if you're a free agent, especially like a young guy who hasn't won a World Series yet, and you see the Red Sox just made the playoffs, and they have Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer. Oh my God, Garrett Crochet is only 26 years old. Kyle Harrison in AAA, Willier Abreu, Sedan Rafaela, the Narv. I kind of want to join that team. That sounds like a team I'd like to be a part of. Maybe I won't take the contract from the Tampa Bay Rays for the same exact price, Zach Eflin. Guys like that, I think it does make a difference. And I'm glad that that Pat brought that up because it is kind of a sales pitch at the end of the day. Yes, money talks when you're Craig Breslow and you're trying to sign these free agents, but these are still humans. It's got to be appealing. Like, look at the Blue Jays throwing all the money in the world at people, and players were like, I don't know if I see the vision yet. Vlad is not signed at the time and blah, blah, blah. So, I think that's another component to making the playoffs. You look good for future Red Sox.
All right, let's get down and dirty here. I want to get into a lot of the stuff that has gone down that has been written. I feel like with the Red Sox specifically, like you'll see with Eugenio Suarez, you see the specific teams linked to him over and over and over again. They're like Yankees, Cubs, Mariners, Yankees, Cubs, Mariners, all that. I get it. With the Red Sox, it's been themes. They want to get a starting pitcher. They would love to get a starting pitcher with term. They are looking at first base. They're looking at bullpen. Yes. Let's go through it a little bit because the Jeff Passan thing, I think, maybe got people down a little bit, even though maybe it got buried by everyone else kind of taking the other path. But Jeff Passan is Jeff Passan, so you can't really discount it. Let me pull up the quotes, actually. I sent them to myself so I could pull it right up. All right, a few quotes from Jeff Passan's piece. He said, at this moment, the Red Sox are not inclined to engage in any large-scale deadline moves. He also said, Boston is an organization that deeply values operating efficiently, and a market like this is the epitome of inefficient. And then he said, maybe they pony up and get Joe Ryan, but for now, at least, they simply haven't been willing to go there. So Jeff Passan said all those things, and obviously that scares people. But then you had Buster Olney saying on the broadcast on the last game of the Philly series that expectations in other front offices are that the Red Sox are going to do something big. He talked about Josh Naylor. Obviously, that's not happening. Robert Murray said he expects the Red Sox to be quite busy. Sean McAdams said he thinks they're going to proceed aggressively. Brad Foe said they're more motivated this year to buy than they have been in years past. But Jeff Passan is Jeff Passan. So naturally, people are going to hang on to what he says because he's Jeff Passan. But like right now, as it stands, we're a week ahead of the deadline. Let's just get general feel. Like how aggressive do you think the Red Sox are going to be? Pat, I want to start with you. How aggressive do you think the Red Sox are going to be going into the deadline?
I think they'll be aggressive in the sense that they more than minorly update their needs. In the sense that, like, first base, like, Yeah, I think right now, after Naylor's off the board, I think they do get O'Hearn. I don't see them going out and paying the deadline price for Joe Ryan or Chris Bubich or any of those guys. But I do think they get like a meaningful rental upgrade over Dick Fitz. And then I think they do get an arm. So I think they're going to address their holes and kind of meaningfully upgrade the team in hopes for a playoff push. But I don't think they're going to push all the chips in. I don't expect, you know, Joe Ryan, Ryan O'Hearn, and Emmanuel Classic, because that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I do expect one back-end starter, if not, because I don't think the number two is going to be available, especially at a price they're going to pay. I expect like a mid to back-end starter or a number two rental. I would call Merrill Kelly a number two rental. But so that I would expect a meaningful upgrade to the platoon at first base, if not a full-time first baseman. So that's where O'Hearn fits in to platoon with Romy. We don't really know about Marcelo yet. That's another piece of the puzzle here. And then another reliever. I think those three do get addressed, and they are motivated to fill those spots. I just don't think it's going to be this insane aggression where it's all the chips in, get the best player at all three spots.
Sammy, I want to get your take, but Pat, first, I got to touch up on this. You said a starter to go over Fitz. Has Walker Buehler passed Dick Fitz in your rotation rankings?
It's 50-50. Like Don't give me the Hulk Hogan.
He's banned from talking about this.
Don't, yeah.
Because he's going to take a victory lap that he shouldn't take yet.
Right. Don't give me the Hulk Hogan.
No victory lap. No victory lap. I'm not there.
Nope.
Not there yet.
I'm just saying.
I agree with what you're saying here, that it's going to be like if Fitz has a bad start and Buehler has a good start, like, yeah, Buehler. And Buehler obviously is the veteran, so like he's going to keep that spot. If he
did.
But let's get to Sammy. Sammy, how aggressive do you think they're going to be at the deadline? Like, is it? Do you think they're going to try? I shouldn't say try, because obviously they're going to try. Are they going to be able to do what they want to do and get that starter with term? And if not, do you think they're going to be aggressive with rentals, or do you think fans are going to be disappointed with what they see?
So this is kind of a weird way I'm looking at this. When I see what Jeff Passan wrote, first off, I think it's Jeff Passan. He's the best in the industry, and I think we all agree on that comfortably. He's great at his job. He also hedged at the end of that column where he said, but they might. So when I hear Jeff Passan say they're going to be efficient, the Red Sox will be efficient at the trade deadline, and this market is inefficient, sure, that totally tracks. This prices, as we've heard, the prices go up by like three at the trade deadline. That's why when we put out a Who Says No, everyone goes, that's crazy, that price is nuts. Well, yeah, that's the point. But then at the end, like I said, Jeff Passan hedged a little bit. So if I'm a betting man, which I'm not, I would say the Red Sox get you an arm like, don't kill the messenger. I think it's going to be like Adrian Hauser or Aaron Civale or Charlie Morton. I think they're going to get themselves a guy who can help get the team to the playoffs. I don't think it's going to be that number two starter. I just can't envision it. The only way I could envision that is if the Padres get super desperate and either send you Dylan Cease or there's a three-team trade for Joe Ryan. But I think that's incredibly unlikely. So what I think the Red Sox are going to do is acquire a guy like that, Hauser, Civale, Morton, those guys, good pitchers, just not super exciting, not sexy, you could say. And then as far as offense goes, I maintain Ryan O'Hearn is like perfect fit. I think this guy is a perfect fit for the Red Sox right now. I explained it on the two episodes ago, him hitting against the righties, Romy against the lefties. It's super self-explanatory. It'd be a great platoon a la the 2018 first base situation. So that's the way I think they're going to go. I think fans might be a little bit disappointed. Maybe some will be happy that they're, I wouldn't say going for it, but they're supplementing. They're adding a bat, a rental bat, and a veteran 41-year-old rental pitcher. Woo! Get fired up, Red Sox fans. And maybe a bullpen arm too. Who knows? But I don't expect a super, super aggressive approach from Craig Breslow because of the exact reasons that Jeff Passan laid out. This is not a market that the Red Sox of late would be into. This is like a Dave Dombrowski go for it kind of market. Like, I don't care, I'll do it. But Craig Breslow, this ownership group, I think you're fooling yourself if you're expecting fireworks at this deadline.
That's the key word for me is fireworks, because I think when you talk about aggression and what is the biggest thing the Red Sox could do? Yeah, the biggest thing they could do is go out and get Joe Ryan. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen, but the overwhelming likelihood is, yeah, unfortunately, for reasons I continue to not understand, teams hold these prices for these controllable starters at way higher than they should be at the deadline, and they will take less than they could have gotten at the deadline when they trade them in the offseason. But that's just the way it works, and that's the way it's probably going to work this year. And so, yeah, the Red Sox probably aren't going to end up with Joe Ryan or Mackenzie Gore or Chris Bubich. That said, I think there are paths and avenues for the Red Sox to be creative. I don't think they're going to come out of this deadline like they did last deadline. I think in that front office, they will know if they exit the deadline saying, hey, like, we acted pretty, for lack of a better word, efficiently here. And we filled our needs, but it's like, oh, but we did it with like Charlie Morton and Nathaniel Lowe at first base.
Maybe I could already see it.
And then got Charlie Morton.
I don't think that's what they're gonna do. I don't.
Adrian Hauser and Tyler Soderstrom.
What I think they're gonna do, and what I was gonna say going into this show, is I thought they were gonna pick one of first base and starting pitcher and go bigger. But now the bigger first base option is off the market, and the best first base option they can get is a platoon. So to me, I think they go a little bit bigger on the higher end of starting pitcher rentals and maybe end up with a Merrill Kelly. Maybe that's the direction they go. There's not that many good ones, but I think they're going to end up with one of the better ones there. I think they're going to add a bat for first base, whether it be Ryan O'Hearn or someone else that they perceive as an upgrade over Abraham Toro. And I think they're going to get an arm for the bullpen. And the arm that I would get for the bullpen, I texted this in the group chat to you guys yesterday. I would go for Raisel Iglesias from the Braves. That's a guy who's got postseason experience. He's obviously, if you look at the numbers, he's had a bad year, but I believe it was 14 consecutive scoreless outings before he blew up in his last one, and he's making a shit ton of money, and so he's not going to cost a ton in the range of prospects because it's a guy who hasn't had a great year and is making a lot of money. So go spend your prospects to get yourself the starter and get creative and use your financial might to fill in the other holes. That's where I would go there, and that's what I'm going to predict that they do. Even if it's not the controllable starter that we all want. Be reasonable and trade me fucking Joe Ryan. God. Yeah,
pay somebody to fill your holes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do.
You know what would be really funny is if they got Charlie Morton and Carlos Santana, who combined are 70 years old. That would be great. And then trade for Rich Hill.
Not gonna do it. Because I actually wouldn't hate that deadline. Like, more, I think no, I could fine. Talk myself into Morton, and I have talked myself into Carlos Santana, even though I feel like we haven't heard his name at all. But I have talked myself into it.
Honestly, look at it this way. As long as the Red Sox get better and don't torch the future, I'll probably be happy with it. I'm not expecting anything crazy. And I don't even know if this team deserves anything crazy. This team's like, you know, they're fighting for a playoff spot, but this isn't a team where you're like, exactly. Get into the play. Get better. Make the team better. You don't have to go crazy. I would love for them to go crazy, but you don't have to do it. Just make the team better. And I think I'll be. My standards are pretty low for this deadline. I don't want a fucking James Paxton, Andrew Cashner type move, but you know, just step up like Charlie Morton, who's not. Trust me, I won't be thrilled with Charlie Morton. I don't want people to think that he's 41 years old. Literally 41 years old. But
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Makes your team better. So,
Sammy, let me ask you a question. If the Red Sox made the playoffs last year and James Paxton didn't get hurt, could you have seen him starting a playoff game for the Red Sox?
I mean,
is he a guy that you would have felt okay starting a playoff game for the Red Sox?
If he's healthy and made it all the way to the finish line? Like,
don't tell yourself. You know the answer is no.
No, not really.
But Charlie Morton.
There's a little bit with Morton.
There's a world where he's fine, where he could do it.
If Charlie Morton starts a... What a weird
And Adrian Hauser. And like plenty of the other starters available that you could see being upgrades over Buehler and Fitz for the postseason rotation.
You think... okay, here's a question. Do you guys think Charlie Morton right now is an upgrade from Walker Buehler? And think about this.
Yes.
Because Charlie Morton... Okay, but he's been in the bullpen for part of the year as well. I don't know. I know we're not super...
So 8 or 9 straight really good starts before one bad one, whereas Buehler was like 8 or 9 really bad ones before one good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. I mean, we joke about Walker Buehler. There's no victory lap for me to take. I'm just the only one who hasn't completely kicked him to the curb. So I'm not expecting anything crazy from him. I just don't want to... That's the exact kind of guy with a crazy track record who hasn't been good in a while, but he hasn't also been fully healthy for an extended period of time for a while, that you trade and then he looks great and you're like, God damn it. And I'm just terrified of that. That's why I'm not done with Walker Buehler yet.
Dude, I can see it now. Just a Mike Soroka, Nathaniel Lowe package.
And they have to pay up because Nathaniel Lowe is controllable.
Oh, he is?
He is not.
Oh, no.
He's got
no,
a year no. and a half. He is not very good.
No, he sucks. No.
But he shares my first name. We're both Nathaniels, so I would I'd sell myself on that. We could make t-shirts out of it or something.
I can't believe Pat's not all aboard the Ryan O'Hearn. That's the most Irish American name
ever.
I said O'Hearn.
Well, now we're on.
Sorry.
Let's talk about first base. Pat, give your O'Hearn take, and I know you've got a Naylor take you're sitting on. I know
yes,
you've been
yeah,
to
yeah.
talk about it. So let's yes. get there. Let's do that.
So now that Naylor's off the board, I think O'Hearn is a perfect fit. Naylor fit the kind of every day would have been the better option because he can truly play every single day. O'Hearn, you're talking about probably, you know, a platoon over at first, platoon DH. Like, you find out how to get him in the lineup, which I'm fine with at this point. That's a meaningful lineup upgrade. Like, I don't think anyone would say otherwise. That being said, I'm getting ahead of it right now. Josh Naylor was traded 22 minutes ago. I can already see that people are going to, and they already are like, are you kidding me? The Sox could give up their number 13, number 16 prospect to get Josh Naylor. Are you serious right now? Let me make something abundantly clear. The Diamondbacks made it bluntly obvious that they would only take arms back in these deals because they have no organizational pitching depth. That being said, 13 and 16 in the Mariner system, they have 9 top 100 prospects. So do that with that information what you will.
Pat,
on
question,
top of that,
question for you, Pat. Would you, here is my Red Sox comp.
Yeah.
Sandlin and Valera for 2 months of Josh Naylor. Would you do that?
I think that's a much bigger price than what the Mariners just paid. I'll put it that way.
Sammy, what I was going to say,
I mean, Garcia's pretty nasty. He's already in the big leagues too.
I was going to say Connolly early and Jettix and Baez.
Yeah, like you can't do that.
I think you have to consider it,
but at the same time, like to Sammy's point, you made this point on the last podcast, and I argued that Josh Naylor was the better fit for the team, but I definitely agree with you that Ryan O'Hearn's going to be had for a cheaper price than Josh Naylor got, and if the difference between Josh Naylor and Ryan O'Hearn is a package centered around Connolly early versus a package centered around Justin Gonzalez, that's different. If it's centered around Blaze Jordan, like I don't know, if it is different. If they could pass up that package that the Mariners just paid for a different deal for O'Hearn that's less, then you can make the argument. You're just gonna have to figure out what you're doing at second base, because if Marcelo's out for an extended period of time, and you know I'm a little nervous that it's a hamate thing because it was on a swing and miss. And generally, if you have wrist pain after a swing and miss, we've seen that in the past. Hopefully it's not fractured. But if it is, like, you're going to have to figure out second base. And ideally, your platoon would be Hamilton and Romy. But if with Josh Naylor off the market, unless you go for Carlos Santana, it's going to be a platoon type. And then you're going to have to do the first base platoon with that guy and with Romy. So you're going to have to figure out what you're doing at second base. Christian Campbell hit a home run today. Was another opposite field one. He's still, you know, he's still finding his footing in AAA. He's not what we think he will be yet. You would be rushing him along to bring him back. So what do you do?
It's a tough spot. I mean, there's a few ways you can look at it. On one hand, they have options. It's not like there's nobody to play second base. You can go Vaughn Grissom, David Hamilton if you want the defense. Vaughn, if you want a right-handed bat with a little bit of pop. Christian Campbell, if you want to go big upside. Nate Eaton hasn't played a lot of second base, but he could probably fill in there. Who else? I'm probably missing some guys. But
Don Rafaela.
Sogard, yeah. Okay. Sogard, well, you can move Rafaela. Like,
that's the answer, right? It's Rafael plays more second base and you fit all the outfielders, in which I hate.
Which sucks. Yeah.
I hate it. None of us like that. We want to see Sedan play center.
Yeah, but they, at least they have options. It's not like a few years ago at first base, it was Bobby Dalbec or Franchy Cordero. That is having no options. That is, you have no major league caliber player at that point. And at least everyone the Red Sox have in the organization gives you something. So that's good.
I'll give you another first base option. I'm curious what you guys think. Understanding that Josh Naylor is no longer available. We've seen some Jaren Duran rumors, and we'll get into the Dylan Cease stuff after this. But my question is, if the Red Sox dealt Jaren Duran, Sammy, you're already shaking no because you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
But understanding what other options are available. Luis Arraez.
No.
Not straight up. Obviously, it would be a small part of the package.
What's his contract? Maybe I can...
He's a rental, but he's making reasonable money, but it's a rental, so he's not going to be
okay. If it doesn't put them over another tier of the luxury tax, then yeah, sure, that's fine for a rental. You can have your 5'8" first percentile defender, first baseman who slaps the ball once in a while.
I'll give you another one. Wow. Wait, they should just be the Orioles. They should acquire both Ryan O'Hearn and Ryan Mountcastle, and then Romy can platoon at second, and those guys can platoon at first.
There you go.
No, Ryan Mountcastle's not the lefty part of the platoon. Ugh. And he's not a full-time guy either, because he wasn't even a full-time on their team. The first base options are limited. Josh Naylor's off the market. Like, they're going to have to act.
It feels like Santana, O'Hearn, Lowe. I think those are the three.
All right, I got a question for you guys. Yeah. Do you guys think that... Well, actually, I know how I feel about this. Even though the price for Naylor wasn't a ton, do you guys think that O'Hearn's price just went up because he's now... pretty much the only plus option, and the Orioles can be like, well, you can't pivot to Naylor anymore. You want to pivot to Carlos Santana? He's 102 years old, buddy. You really want to do that?
I think that's fair, Sammy. I don't think it's going to be anywhere. Well, I shouldn't say anywhere close. I don't think it's going to be super close to Naylor, but yeah, I think it went up a little bit. I think we were sort of hoping maybe they put the package around Alan Castro, but now they're getting more than Alan Castro.
I think it went up a little bit, That being said, I don't think it went up nearly as much as like Ryan McMahon's price will if Eugenio Suarez is moved first.
Fair, yeah. Yeah. First base, not as premium. But you know what? I wouldn't be shocked if Ryan O'Hearn goes for more than Josh Naylor just went for. Because platoon, like we talked about this two episodes ago, platoon-wise, like it is a lot closer than people think. Josh Naylor is not good against left-handed pitching. He's barely better than Ryan O'Hearn. And defensively, O'Hearn this year, pretty significant edge. And I know it's first base. People don't care as much about first base defense. But if we're comparing these two guys, you have to mention it. And then against righties, it's, again, not that far apart. And I know Naylor has more of a track record. If you want to sign a guy long term, you're probably going with Naylor. But both rentals in the year of 2025, I don't know. I think O'Hearn might even go for more than what Naylor just went for.
I don't think he's going to go for more, but I do think his price went up. And they're going to have to pay it because, I mean, Pat, you said it. O'Hearn, Santana, Lowe. Pick your poison. I don't think the Red Sox should be paying up for an extra year of Nathaniel Lowe, who is not having that good of a year. So it's now basically, if you don't get Ryan O'Hearn, you've got to make sure that you're the team that gets Carlos Santana. And if the Guardians play well, maybe he comes up, maybe he's not even on the market. So like, yeah, like it's kind of put up or shut up time. Maybe they could put together a deal for Santana and Shane Bieber. I mean, there was like that little, who put that out there? The Shane Bieber thing that he,
was it Heyman?
I don't remember, but someone prominent put it out there. And we know the Red Sox.
I'll find it.
The Red Sox wanted Shane Bieber in the offseason. I believe it was before they signed Patrick Sandoval. So it's not to say like, oh, well, they really wanted him then. They must really want him now. It would be another rehabbing guy, but it could be interesting if you wanted to package him together. But I do want to get into some of these starters. What do you have, Sammy?
Oh, okay. I was going to throw out one other name as like a fringe. Actually, no. Never mind. This doesn't make sense.
It was passing.
Okay. There you go.
Passing was the Bieber nugget.
I was going to say Luke Rayleigh, but because he was like a killer of righties when he was on the Rays, but he hasn't been as good with Seattle. And he's on a rookie deal, so it doesn't really matter that he's team control, but not the most exciting option.
I mean, there's been time, like Steve Pierce wasn't an exciting option, and look what happened. Like, it's really up to the front office to know who's going to be. Like, they thought they were getting creative with Danny Jansen last year. It didn't work. They got creative with Steve Pierce in 18, and it worked wonders. They got creative with Kyle Schwarber in 21. People were pissed about that. I wasn't pissed about that. I was like, oh my God, they got Kyle Schwarber. That's sick. Everyone else was like, he's hurt. Who cares?
Yeah,
but
right.
But like
right,
Kyle Schwarber. Yeah. And before we finish this podcast, we have to talk a little bit about Kyle Schwarber, but we'll get there at the end. Let's talk about the starting pitching real quick because there's been a bunch of rumblings, a bunch of reports. Dylan Cease, you have, Buster Olney said the Red Sox have talked about him and said he has a good chance to move. Joel Sherman said just as such that the Red Sox have been in touch and that he thinks there's a good shot he moves. John Heyman called it a longer shot, but did say that the Red Sox have been in touch there. So there is a lot of tentacles to this Dylan Cease thing, connections to the Red Sox. We know that he's been connected to the Red Sox both in the past, this offseason as a trade candidate, and back when he was with the White Sox before he went to the Padres. I remember they asked like Brian Bayo plus for him back then, which was a non-starter for the Sox. So you had Dylan Cease, and I'm going to connect it with Seth Lugo because he's also a rental. And to me, and Ken Rosenthal's Seth Lugo hypothetical was Jaron Duran to the Royals, Seth Lugo and prospects to the Red Sox, and he made note that people like their catching prospects. The Royals' only two top 100 prospects are both catchers. So I think a deal for Dylan Cease would look pretty similar. It'd be Duran to the Padres, who could not love Jaron Duran more if they tried. Duran there, Cease and prospects back to the Red Sox, or in my previous hypothetical, Cease Arise prospects back to the Red Sox. Probably not what the Padres are going to do because they're trying to make it to the postseason. But are you guys... First of all, let me ask you who you like better as a rental, Cease or Seth Lugo? And B, are you a fan of that form of a trade? If the Red Sox took a little bit less in the return in terms of prospects, but got a rental starting pitcher who could presumably start game two of a postseason series?
In a vacuum, I think I like Cease more, but if you're getting... from the Royals, if you're getting Blake Mitchell or Carter Jensen, dude, you got to do that. You got no catching depth whatsoever. It's the Narv and then the Grand Canyon and then Connor Wong. So I like, dude, if that's a possibility, you got to do that. That's unbelievable value. And it makes you better now and in the future for the Royals trade I'm talking about.
It could be the same with the Padres too, if it's Ethan Salas. Like for the Red Sox could just be in on catching prospects here.
Yeah, I'm not super high on Ethan Salas for a kid. You know, when you're a kid, you like fall off your bike, you bounce back in 2 seconds. Ethan Salas has been hurt for like a year and a half, and he's only 17 or 18. Kind of freaks me out, and he's never hit well at all. I know he hasn't barely played as a pro, but yeah, I think the safer bet would be one of those Royals guys. I know Ethan Salas is like the sexy name because he's been around for a couple years. He was drafted super young, so the expectation was super high. But these Royals guys, man, Blake Mitchell's the better catching prospect. He's only in high A right now. Carter Jensen is next year. He'll be major league ready. You got him, the Narv, and Wong. All of a sudden, you have okay catching. The Brandon in the minors as well. Good bat. So, yeah, man, I'm loving that. I love that Royals idea. I'm thinking about it as we speak, and that's the move.
So you would do that over a Dylan Cease equivalent, even though you said you like Cease more in a vacuum. Which I think Cease is fair. More, I think that's a fair take.
Right, but it's 2 months. It's 2 months of Cease, and you could just like if you really like Cease more, you make the trade with the Royals, and then you sign Cease in the winter. Which is, I mean, that's. Now you're in like dream scenario. Now you're really cooking.
Pat, what do you like better? Padres or Royals there?
Oddly enough, I think I like the Padres better. And it's not because of Salas. I think it'd be the add-ons to Cease. Like if you could get Cease, Jeremiah Estrada, if one of the like Bateman or I can't think of the other one's name right now.
Cash?
But like Cash Mayfield. Thank you. If you could get like Cash, Estrada, Cease for Duran and, you know, like a throw in, I like that better. I like that way better. Cause catching prospects freak me out. Like, I mean, look at Adley. Adley sucks now. Like, it's just such a coin flip with them. Like, it's so hard. I think the add ins is better on the Padres side. But if you're truly pinpointing one prospect, then yeah, it's the Royals.
It's interesting. Because I feel like if you looked at, let's just take the prospects out of it and point to Dylan Cease versus Seth Lugo. If you just hear the names, fans would always, 99% of the time, they'd point to Dylan Cease. Seth Lugo, for now, 2 straight years has been better than Dylan Cease. And you're going after a rental, right? So it's not like you're going after 3 years. Obviously, we love Dylan Cease's stuff. And he's much younger than Seth Lugo. If they were both under contract for 3 years, yeah, you'd probably go with Dylan Cease, try to fix him up, make him a better version of himself because his FIP, his peripherals, they're still good. Dylan Cease is going to be a good pitcher moving forward. But for the remainder of the year, you could make the argument. I would make the argument that Seth Lugo is the better fit. And the only reason it gives me pause is if he gets hurt, he's got that poison pill player option in his contract that Dylan Cease does not. So I would probably lean Royals in that sense. But in terms of the prospects, if we're taking that into account, I would lean Salas on the Padres, A, because of name value, because let's be real here. Like this could be another trade chip because we think the Red Sox have their franchise catcher here. But B, if you've got a guy who you think could be your franchise catcher already, which we think in the Narv, you might as well chase ceiling. Like that's my thought there. Like go for broke. But it really should be, if you're trading Jaron Duran, it should be first and foremost. How are you making the team better this year? I don't think you could go wrong if it's either of those guys. But the other option,
they're both great options. Yeah.
Both great options. Gordo, both rentals. It's flawed.
Gordo, real quick before we move on, but part of the reason I like the Royals is what Pat just said. Look at Adley Rutschman. Like he looks like a different guy. He looks terrible nowadays. I really like the Narv. We all love the Narv, but you know it's Major League Baseball. Things happen. I don't think after a few months of watching him in the big leagues, we can be like, this is the guy 100%. At the very least, it would be good to have a guy, you know, behind him in that depth chart just to as like a safety net. And I think the more I look, if you do Seth Lugo and Carter Jensen, you could have that kid up next year I love that, man. And Jensen, left-handed bat. Narvaez, right-handed bat. That's a great young platoon that you can work with for a long time.
Yeah, and people will say, well, why would you get a top catching prospect when you have Narvaez? I firmly believe in Carlos Narvaez as this team's franchise catcher. I think he's that dude. I think both the talent you see on the field and the person you see off the field is that guy. But the best teams have multiple catchers that you can go out, that you can throw out there whenever you want and keep both of them fresh. Both of them can hit. Both of them can catch the staff well. Maybe they have specific pitchers they work with. Like, yeah, they do need long-term a better second option than Wong. We probably won't get into backup catcher trade stuff today just because we're running on time. And I don't think we've heard very much in that realm. But the other thing we heard from in the past, an article was he kind of snuck it in there. Like, I feel like you'd have to like be reading the whole thing to find it. But he listed Jarren Duran as the best fit for the Reds and sort of suggested that Andrew Abbott could be a guy who could maybe fit what the Red Sox are looking for that pitching ad. If they're trading Jarren Duran, like they'd love to get that starting pitcher. Maybe Andrew Abbott could be that guy. He's controllable, I believe, for four and a half years.
He's a free agent after 29.
Okay. So 26, 27, 28, 29. So 4.5 years. 20 after
long
20,
term.
29. He's had an all-star season. He's had a terrific season. Jarren Duran alone is not going to be enough at this point, in my opinion, to get Andrew Abbott. But let's talk about it in a vacuum. Is that a framework you like? And if it is, do you like it better? Sammy, you just raved about the Royals framework. Do you like it better than that Royals framework?
No. I prefer the Royals framework just because I think that sets you up. Yeah, because it sets you up to, you know, you have the rental this year with Seth Lugo. You got the catcher. Season's over. You either extend Lugo or then you can go out and get that number two starter. So you can have more in the pretty short term with the Royals trade. That said, Andrew Abbott, this guy does not get nearly the respect he deserves. It's very obvious why. He doesn't have a big fastball. It's not a bad fastball. In fact, it's a really good fastball. It just sits around 92.5 miles an hour. Still, gets a lot of chase, doesn't give up hard hits. His changeup. You guys see Christopher Sanchez the other night pitching against the Red Sox, dominating? Not the same, but Andrew Abbott has a changeup just like that. It's nasty. Different attack overall. But the changeup, I'm saying, is great. So a guy like him, he slots in as your number two starting pitcher. And the way he attacks is like, that'll age well. I know he's only 26, so we're not really thinking about him aging yet. But if you extend this guy, it's someone you can feel good about for the long term because he's not relying on velocity. He doesn't walk a lot of guys, 79th percentile for that right now. K rate, he's right in the middle, 49th. So it's not like he doesn't strike anyone out. He gets his fair share of strikeouts, just nothing crazy. So I think I might put that trade over the Padres hypothetical we've gone over. So I'd go Royals trade, Reds trade for Abbott, and then Cease Padres Salas trade. They're all great, but I think this one, Abbott, would be the my second best option right now.
I'm interested. It's fascinating to me that you didn't have it as your first, because in our group chat, you said it right here, very big on Abbott. I have concerns with Andrew Abbott, but I still would put this as above the other frameworks. Like, if they're trading Jarren Duran, my first choice would be to get a guy who has a good chance to be your number two for the next at least couple of years. That would be my first choice there. But yeah, I mean, I do have some concerns with the low fastball, averages what, 92.5 miles an hour. Obviously works off of that with an elite changeup and good off speed, and it makes the fastball play, and I get it. But those guys scare me a little bit. But again, Jarren Duran is not going to get you alone a Joe Ryan, and it may not even come close with the ask. So if you can get an Andrew Abbott today with Jarren Duran and a little bit more, I would do that right now. I would. Pat, where are you at? And tell me, do you like that deal over the Royals and Padres frameworks we just discussed?
Yeah, I do. I love pitchers of like Abbott's mold, like the Lugo, Fried, like those guys, the finesse pitchers age so well because they don't rely on velo. Like the second they lose velo, it's not like they're prone to letting up contact now. Like they were never velo guys. They were always location, finesse. Like I like that package way more than Cease, way more than Lugo. I love him as a complement to Crochet because they are so different in terms of pitching. Crochet, like, you're hunting velo, the wipeout slider, like all this. The cutter's a mini slider. Like, it's just nuts. And then Abbott will just tic-tac you alive. Like, he'll locate the fastball. He'll bury the changeup. Like, that's a perfect 1-2 in my eyes, is a high strikeout, high velo guy, weak contact painter. Just an artist in that two spot.
And again, it's a good fastball, too. People keep getting on Andrew Abbott because his fastball isn't hard. It's a good fastball. Grades out well. It didn't his rookie year, but now it is. So I think we get why he doesn't get the respect he deserves, because he doesn't light up the radar gun like Garrett Crochet does every time. But that kid is good, man. And if the Red Sox trade for him, I think fans are going to like him a lot.
Yeah, I think it would be really good, especially, you know, right away. He's having such a good year. You could attach yourself to that rocket ship and let it launch you into the postseason.
The one concern I have with Abbott, and you have to bring this up, he does not generate a ton of ground balls, ninth percentile there.
But he plays in Cincinnati. If he makes it work in Cincinnati, he can make it work at Fenway.
Right. So that's what I was going to say. That's a little scary at Fenway, but if you're able to make it work at Great American Small Park, then you can probably make it work at Fenway. It's just, you know, you gotta point out the concerns. They're legit.
Yeah. All right. We got to be quick with these next two things, but I want to make sure we get to both of them. Percent chance the Red Sox, like we just talked about multiple trade scenarios where they trade Jaren Duran. I feel like the definite likelihood, if not even the overwhelming likelihood at this point, is that they keep all the outfielders. Do you guys agree with me on that? Is it super likely that they keep all the outfielders? And if they do, will you be disappointed that they weren't able to find that trade?
Yes and yes. Two yeses. I think I'll say 65% sure they keep all the outfielders. So just still a decent chance they move one, but a strong lean towards keeping all of them. And I will be disappointed because I don't think Jaren Duran's value is going to go up anymore. Surprise, surprise. That's the outfielder I think should be moved. And you could say the same thing about Willy Abreu. If that's the guy you want to be moved, half a year less of team control, value's probably not going up. He could also go off and just be some freak of nature, maybe make his value go up. But Jaren Duran, almost definitely, his value is never going to be higher. So if you're not moving him now, I'm like, but then, you know.
But no, Sammy, I agree with you. It's two yeses. It's two yeses. It's definitely two yeses.
Not to speak out of both sides of my mouth, though, I also don't want the Red Sox to give Jaren away for some crappy return. So
It is their job to find this move.
Sure. I'm just saying I respect how difficult the situation is, but I would be a little bit disappointed if they kept all these out. Not because I don't like any of them, not because they're not good players. It's just a really weird roster right now. And I still can't believe they didn't address this in the offseason. We touched on this 47 times that they have a lot of outfielders, and we were like, well, they're being cautious, and now it's coming back to bite them.
Well, I think I'm going 80% chance they keep all the outfielders, just because of how seemingly unlikely it is that a guy like Ryan and Gore is going to get moved. And I do think that when it's all said and done, the Red Sox probably want to end up with one of those guys to deal a Duran. But to me, I would be disappointed that they didn't find an avenue to take that surplus, to take that guy on the bench every night that doesn't help you and turn it into something that can. So simple as that. I'd be disappointed. Pat?
Yes and yes. Gordo, you alluded to it earlier, and it's no different between starting pitchers and position players. They can set their price right now. You can always come down for that price and take a serviceable deal. You're not setting the Mackenzie Gore, the Joe Ryan. That bar is way too high. Jaren is not getting the return that those guys are getting. That being said, if you could do the Lugo, the Abbott, or the Cease route, get one of those three, and even like a smattering of just like off top 100 or back end top 10 prospects, yeah, you still do it because that makes your team better now and in the future. It clears it up. So Sedan plays center every day. Roman and Willie are out there every day. Rob's playing against lefties. Like, Sedan's not playing fucking second base. Like, it just makes the actual roster construction and day-to-day lineup way less of a headache, way, I would say, better, because Duran is the de facto leadoff guy right now, and he quite frankly stinks at it. You have to do it. You have to do it, because if you don't do it now, you kick the can down the road again. Your price comes down in the off season, and it's just, you're settling at that point. Cause you, it, like, this winter is like the time. Like, there's no, we'll do it later. Like, you have to do it this winter. If you do not do it now, yep, which I think is stupid.
Agreed. If they don't do it now, you cannot enter next season with these guys all being proven major league players. Like, at this point, you just can't. If they're all proven major leaguers, like, you owe it to yourself, you owe it to them. Realign the roster, give them the chance to be an everyday player.
Fans, dude, and the fans, and to us. We've been waiting years. This is episode 242, and we haven't got to cover a single fucking playoff game. 242 of these. Nothing. Come on.
Or a meaningful game beyond, like, September 1st. I think that was, like, kind of the last one last year.
What's the most meaningful game that's happened since we started this podcast? Can't pick opening day.
The what?
Maybe the Yankees series in September or in August. No, it wasn't even August. It was July last year.
Dude, I kind of jokingly said you can't pick opening day, but it might be just like one of the opening day. Like, opening day 2025 is the biggest game they play.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hold on. Sammy, I got to push this along because we're running on time, but we gotta hit on one last topic. Because Cora, they asked him about Kyle Schwarber's impending free agency, and Cora said he's very, very intrigued by it. To me, I think letting Kyle Schwarber go is one of the most egregious mistakes they made as an organization. You can talk about the Chris Sale trade if you want, but to me, like, in the moment, the Sale trade, I understood it, and it just didn't work. The Kyle Schwarber thing, never understood it, thought he should have been a core guy in this organization. He would have been great for Boston. They let him go. It genuinely annoys me that he hasn't been on the team these last few years, but he's a free agent, and I would do whatever sort of gymnastics you need to do to bring him back and make him this team's DH for the next 3 or 4 years.
Well, dude, they have Yoshida. What the fuck are you talking about?
They let Kyle Schwarber go so they could pay Trevor Story like $60 million more and then pay Yoshida next year like
what a stupid what, dude.
Like 30 million more.
Stupid idiot.
Idiots.
Trevor Story and Yoshida instead of, God, I hate that. I hate that. I don't even want to talk about this. It makes me mad. I just did the Dennis from Always Sunny. Idiot. If you got that joke, I love you. But yeah, no, that's, and what was the deal? What was it? It was like $79 million. They wouldn't pay him something.
4 years, $79 million.
They offered him $36 million, Sammy. They offered him $36 million.
Disgusting. He should never sign with the Red Sox. He should never sign here just as out of principle. But I hope he does.
Take that back. He needs to come back.
He was such attitude, everything, style of play, timeliness. He was so good for the Red Sox. Everyone attitude, loved him. And they're like, yeah, everything. And they're like, no, we're going to get Story.
We have JD Martinez, so we can't have Schwarber, even though we literally traded for him last year. Like, come on.
Dude. Okay.
Hate it.
Let me lay this out. So in 2021, the Red Sox had a guy who was 28 years old and in 113 games hit 32 home runs, 71 RBI, hit .266 and had a .928 OPS. And then they just let him go.
Yeah. That's nuts. And he has hit 38 homers or more every year since, except for this year, where I believe he's at 33.
Four.
34. And we're not even close to the end of the season. Like, oh, that's like the worst thing they did. I liked a lot of what Chaim Bloom did, but that was the worst thing he did. Let's go to Nuff Said real quick before we get out of here. Sammy, you want to go first? Pat, you got something? Who wants to go? Nuff Said.
Go ahead, Pat.
I can go first.
Yeah, go for it. Let me think.
Two things. First off, thank you to Nesson for having me on. That was super cool. Doing TV for the first time, that was like surreal. Just like the network that you watch every single night since you're a kid and you get to like actually be on it, that was awesome, and I'm really appreciative that they did that. But also, I ran into Teoscar Hernandez like in like 30 to 40 minutes before we started this recording, texted in the group chat, told him he should have signed here, and he basically said, yeah, they didn't come through though. They didn't come through. And then he's like, oh, but everyone won in the end. I was like, no, you won. World Series champion, play with Shohei Ohtani, win the home run derby and be a postseason hero. Teoscar Hernandez, make a bunch of money. Good for you, man. Good for you. Anyone got another Nuff Said?
I can go. Sammy, cool with that?
Yeah.
Mine's super brief. Every report coming out of Foxborough is that Stephon Diggs looks incredible.
Cut him, Pat. Cut him.
Come. No. You know how exciting it is to have like positive news? We're 2 days in, I get it. And it's no pads practice. But like this time last year, people like Jalen Polk was dropping balls. Javon Baker was useless. Like, it's so refreshing that Stephon Diggs actually looks like a good wide receiver. And especially Kyle Williams had a great first day. I don't know how his second day went, but had a great first day. Sammy's guy, Efton Chisholm, he's fielding some punts off the jugs machine. And vibes are high. Vibes are so high.
I love it, man. We're going to need
vibes,
it. Just give me more than 4 wins this year, baby.
Vibes are high, but here's my Nuff Said is a question. Dodgers come to town starting today, if you're listening on Friday. Shohei Ohtani is on that team, along with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. Here's my question, and I hate that I'm even asking this: who has more fans at the game at the games this weekend, Red Sox or Dodgers?
You know, I was actually thinking about this. I think it's going to be Red Sox because I think there's going to be less Dodgers fans than there were last time, because I think with the new schedule alignment, NL fans were taking advantage and going to ballparks that they hadn't seen before. But now that rush is kind of over. So they're still the defending champs, but maybe less of a rush to come to Fenway than there was last time. And now the Red Sox are a little bit more interesting than they were last time. So I think it'll be a little bit less this time, but it's still, I mean, it's the Dodgers. They'll have their people.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I think the Sox are good enough this year where they'll have like a normal home turnout for like an away. Like, Dodgers travel well. So like, it's going to be more than, you know, when the Angels come to town, but it won't be like last time. Last time, like, the Sox were just absolutely out of it. The Dodgers were unreal. The Sox are interesting. They're in a playoff spot right now. The Dodgers are playing like dog shit, knock on wood. But no, I don't think it'll be anything like last time, because last time was terrible.
That was embarrassing, man. That actually, like, that as a proud, not just Red Sox fan, but like, you know, born in Boston, I live in Boston. That was embarrassing to see all the Dodgers. Like, it's a West Coast team, dude. Come on. I know it's the Dodgers, but fuck, man. Come on.
Yeah, let's end it on that, Sammy. Say it again one more time.
Fuck, man. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Fuck. Come on.
All right, that's going to do it. That's a wrap on episode 242 of Play Tessie. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on the WEI YouTube channel. Hit the thumbs up on all of those videos. Subscribe to WEI. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie everywhere on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here. For Play Tessie, episode 242, thanks for tuning in. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God!
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102!
Laser beam! Walk off, baby! This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.